Greetings, greetings, each of you by the very means of internet radio. We're coming to you live from the beautiful city of Memphis, Tennessee. I am Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. God bless you on this evening. You have tuned in to the Six Eyes Gospel Show, where you get your praise on without leaving the house. So we want to enjoy you today. We want you to enjoy the program today. But before we get started, let's say hello to the gang. All the Six Eyes Gospel team members, why don't you greet our audience today before we get started?
How you doing there, Pastor Bonnet?
I'm doing good, doing good. How are you doing, Missionary Ken?
Blessed and highly favored. How about you?
Man, I am thankful that I am blessed and understand that I can be otherwise. So thank you. I'm thankful in spite of everything that's going on.
God bless you, Pastor Bond.
God bless you, Missionary Ruth Wolfgang. God bless you, woman of God. Always good to hear you. I love your speaking voice, especially when you're doing your Bible prophecies. I'm just waiting on you to do that book. You might want to get with Brother Charles and do your own audio.
You know, Kenny, that might not be a bad idea because we could probably do that like he was talking about. I might do his book on audio, too. He's already got his book published.
There you go. See? So you go back and you do the audio version of his book, and that'll set you up for doing the audio version on your book. Brother Charles, how you doing, sir?
Doing all right. How's everybody doing?
There he is.
Amen.
Okay. Good afternoon, Charles. Hope you're doing good.
I'm doing great. Doing great. Hope everybody's doing all right.
Man, we are doing wonderful. We're telling God thank you for a brand new day, for brand new opportunities and mercy.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So hello to you all. Hope everybody's doing well. Like you said, I'm doing great. I have my coffee here with me, and everything is great. And hello to Mama Six Eyes. She's at home, so she said to tell everybody hello. I don't know if Sister and Princess will be joining us, but if not, hello from her as well. And today is my Aunt Lavora's birthday, so she turned 83 today.
Oh,
so happy
man,
birthday to the gang.
Amen. Happy birthday. Amen. 83 years young. Man, that's a wonderful thing.
Yes. So that's a blessing right there.
Brother Charles, if you was 83 years old, what would you be doing right now?
Wow, if I was 83 years old right now, hopefully I still have my teeth. So 83 years old, I probably would be sitting back, relaxing. 83 years old, I've amassed a great amount of wealth. So I'll just be sitting back enjoying and seeing what's going on with y'all as we get older and gray and see how our voices change. And hopefully the Six Eyes Radio Network will be passed on to somebody else and it still be going.
Wow, that's food for thought. I don't know, man. Some women, they get older, but their voice sounds younger because when I hear Sister Ruth, and she done told me her age, she don't sound as old as you think she is.
No.
She actually sounds very young. I thought Ken had a young wife, you know, but
I'm actually 11 years older than Kenny. I'm 61, and I'll be 62 coming up July the 10th.
Look, you see how she's so proud to say that? That's what I call someone proud of their age, not ashamed of their testimony. She, you see how she blurted that out? Yeah, I was older
yeah.
than him. I ain't younger than him.
Oh, oh yeah.
But,
and that's the goal. But, the goal is to get old.
Yes, the goal is to live a longer life. But I think the goal really should be to live a fulfilled life. Because
yes.
some people have fulfilled their promises and they've gone on to meet the maker.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Oh, Brenda. Hi, Brenda.
Princess Mikhail.
Yeah, so
how's everyone?
Good afternoon. All right. Great, great, great.
We're cool.
We're
awesome.
Doing wonderful.
I'll
doing
be
wonderful.
In and out, but I'll be here.
Well, you make sure you keep listening. I believe that the Word of God today is going to set you up for a great overflow blessing.
I receive it.
A great overflowing blessing. I believe that's what the Word of God is going to do on today. I'm so excited about it. I like when God really gives me specific messages just for this platform. Because this platform, I can't see your faces. I can't hear your responses most of the time. And so, therefore, as a speaker, it's hard to gauge your audience. One of the things in my education, we had a course called Understanding Teaching. And in understanding teaching, one of the principles was to know your audience and to always taper or direct your whatever it is that you're talking about based on whom you are talking to. So whether your conversation is high or low, highly educated, lowly educated, whatever it is, it must be. It must have the propensity to be received by those that are hearing. And so if you're not able to see or to hear your audience, now you're on a faith walk with your audience where you're trusting the Holy Spirit to truly minister to their needs and what they need to hear so that that word will germinate in their hearts and in their minds so that they can keep going forward, so that they will share it with others, and the Word of God will continue to keep overflowing to the lives of so many others. So that's the challenge and the blessing all in the same time. And so that's what makes this platform so wonderful when we are ministering. Yes, we have some talk back time at the end of the program, but for the most part, it is speaking what God is giving you and trusting is what's needed. And I know Missionary Ken feel much of the same because he's one that has to minister on the same platform. So I'm quite sure he will concur. Amen. Well, let's
and let me add real quick before you go forward. that word OLD, I understand it, but my saying is I prefer to grow in my wisdom. Let me get wiser.
Amen. Amen. I that's why I stated earlier when Six announced the birthday of his aunt that she was 83 years young. Because the truth of the matter is the earth is old, the moon is old, the sun is old, but we're still relatively young. Amen, somebody.
Amen. Well, truth be told, you know, our physical bodies pass on, but our spirit lives on.
Amen.
So we don't know how how old our spirits are.
Well, you know, one thing about me, my body's not going to pass on because, as you already know, I'm going to be at your house a month out the year. So I'm very happy about that.
He says he's going to be, what's that word? What's he do to the Alzheimer's?
He's going to be taxidermied, and I'm glad my name isn't you or your.
Well, Princess, you know he's starting at your place, and then it comes to the rest of us. So he starts with you.
Okay. Nice.
You just have to make sure you spray the Febreze and keep him fresh and, you know, keep his hair, you know, in order.
Oh,
so
boy.
And here's a fun fact about after you pass on. After you pass on, your hair and nails continue to grow. So that's great right there.
I think I'm going to find him at his throne in the Smithsonian Institute because that will prove, truly be revolutionary. He's going to have a Smithsonian. Or we can put him in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
He would love that. He would love
yes,
that. He would come alive.
Back
every,
to Final Destination.
The night, what that is, Night of the Living Museum or whatever it was called, that would be him every night coming alive at the museum talking to all the Hall of Famers. I see him interviewing them now. Jesus help me, Lord.
This is.
Well, we want to go ahead and get the program started. Just a little message from the Six Eyes Network. We don't want you to text and drive. So, let's see.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Victory, breath and form against me. will never overtake me. And the sun is the greatest power we shall
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of
Ashtabula,
Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Hello, anybody hear us?
Go right ahead, Missionary Ken. Go right ahead, Missionary Ken. Our whole system was on mute, did not realize it. It is our time for prayer and a scripture reading by Missionary, scripture reading by Sister Ruth Wolfgang, and prayer by Missionary Ken Wolfgang. Let us receive him in that order.
All right. All right, Ruthie's looking for you to read.
Go ahead and play,
Missionary Ken. Yeah. I'm here. Can you guys hear me all right?
We hear you fine.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and read.
Okay. It's now, we're reading Psalm 91, 1 through 16. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou hast tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation.
Okay, Ruth, and one more time, that reference was what?
Psalm 91, the whole 1 through 16.
All righty. And everybody ready for prayer? Just bow your heads and let's go. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus, and we want to thank you for an awesome program, Lord Jesus. May have a few glitches, but Lord Jesus, we know that you're still in charge, and we ask you to take the wheel this year program, Lord Jesus, as we go through, and we ask you, Lord, as you do, we know that it'll iron itself out, Lord Jesus, as we go through. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to first touch that soul who is nearest hell. Lord Jesus, help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word, the Lord says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day, Lord Jesus. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, first, the family and friends who have lost somebody due to COVID-19, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they, Lord Jesus, would be comforted, as only you can comfort them, Lord Jesus, in this time of bereavement. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are going through COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction, Lord Jesus, as only you can. We ask you to touch them right now, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like George Floyd and many others, as we read in our newspapers, see on the news, on the television, Lord Jesus, or hear about on the radio stations, Lord Jesus, you definitely got mail, Lord Jesus, because we definitely need to learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, Lord Jesus, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. And now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We thank God. To all our listeners, the glitch was me. I muted you all and had the music playing. But I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Even though I was enjoying the music, I kept hearing, y'all didn't pray. You didn't pray. And I broke in the middle of the song to go back and pray and read the scripture. So I thank God for learning to do things decently and in order. And in that, I was able to see that the glitch was a human error, my error, that I muted you all, and the music was still playing. But I thank God that we have a set program to pray as we start the program. And so by doing that, they say prayer is always in order. By stopping to pray, it allowed us to recognize our mistake, my mistake. As innocent as it was still one that I was able to recognize because I gave room to pray. It is a lesson for all of us. That's why I'm testifying about it right now before the next commercial, before the next song, because it's so important as we go in our individual lives today. A lot of times, everything don't have to be a great sin. The Bible says, cast aside every sin and the weight that easily beset us or get us sidetracked. And so sometimes things are not necessarily sin, but it can be a weighted heavy load on us. That's why last week we preached on why are we worrying? Why are you worrying? And so I wanted to share that with you, our listeners, amen, so that you may be encouraged, that you have great intentions, good intentions, but even sometimes good intentions can get slightly sidetracked. But when we stop to pray, that means to recognize God, to give God honor, to ask God, God, this is what I'm trying to do. Is it all right with you? Then we'll see how God brings things into better focus, better clarity, better understanding, and we're able to hear even better the things of God that's for us. So I share that with you as a apology for my error and a testimony of how prayer always is in order.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
Yes, I love you, Lord, my strength. I love you, Lord, my strength. I love you, Lord, my strength. I love you. The Lord is my pillar and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock. Yeah. The Lord is my pillar, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock. Be in my shield, and no harm from salvation. Be in my shield, and no harm from salvation. Be in my shield, and no harm from salvation. He's my high tower. He's my high tower. I will call on the name of the Lord. I will call on the name of the Lord. He is ready to be free.
Yeah,
How do people try to escape depression? Self-preservation is the first law of life. If you break your arm, your first instinct is to shield it, to keep it from being injured or hit by anyone else. When you are emotionally wounded, truly wounded, you may do several things trying to protect yourself. Some people turn to alcoholism. Alcoholics always have a reason for drinking. It's their wife's fault, it's the husband's fault, it's the boss's fault. The birds are flying the wrong way. The dog barked at me when I came home. It's somebody else's fault. No, it's not. You took the drink, and the drink took you. You're hiding in a bottle because you're afraid to face reality. Alcoholism is not the answer. I'm not against drinking. I drink every day from this fountain of living water. It satisfies. It's greater than anything you'll ever drink. It's better than anything you'll ever taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's power in this book. There's an answer in this book. There's a God in this book who is the deliverer and who is the answer. Christ is your answer. Find him here.
It is your Lord.
Come on, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Somebody bless the Lord. Dear God, your life is here. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oftentimes we're saying yes to so many things. Somebody asks us to come and help them with this or go and help us with that, and we'll say yes. But God is asking us to do things every day, and we're saying, well, Lord, let me think about it. Well, Lord, let me pray about it. No, 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 no. If God has asked us to do anything, our answer should be without waiver and without hesitation. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes to doing it your way, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes the enemy wants to come in and stir up this and that. But we have to develop in our spirit how just to tell God yes, how to tell God thank you, and how to say yes. The Bible said, in all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. Learning to tell God thank you in the midst of trouble. Amen. I won't tell it all today. I say it for Monday motivation.
That's all right. We'll talk anyway. Amen. I say the full testimony for Monday night motivational. Amen. But this past week I've gone through a lot of issues. And each of those times I had every right, every opportunity to complain. But I realized I was just going to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for keeping me. And every time I would do that, someone would hear me and say, man, I'm going through this and that. This man, can you believe this is happening to me? This is happening. And I was like, Lord, had I not been thanking you, have I been not praising you, I would have added to that person already emotional distress and caused them even more distress in their time of need. And so many times this week have that issue happen. And each time I just felt a renewed strength just to say, yes, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for providing. Lord God, I may have needed this, but thank you, I had that. Lord, thank you. And I'm learning even the more how important it is to develop a yes, Lord spirit and a thank you, Lord, in your mouth. A yes, Lord spirit and a thank you, Lord, in your mouth. These two keys are keys that will keep you happy, keep you full of joy, and they will not allow you to fall into distress and disparity. A thank you spirit, I mean a yes spirit, and a thank you in your mouth. Amen. On this afternoon, I want to again greet you wherever you may be that are listening to this radio programming. As always, we count it a privilege and an honor to come into your homes, to come into your lives, to speak the word of faith to you, to preach good news, to give you something encouraging, to help you as you travel in this Christian journey on your way to glory. This month at Greater Somerville, our monthly emphasis is kingdom success. In keeping with monthly emphasis, we always try to minister within that parameter of the emphasis. So kingdom success. Most of us have heard the word kingdom and have a general idea of what it is. Many of us have also heard the word success, and we have a pretty much basic understanding of that word. The difference is when you put both of the words together, many times we take success, and because the person have maybe said thank you, God, or glory to God, or to the highest, or some reformation in that direction, we, in our mind, gravitated their success as a godly success or kingdom success. But we got secular artists that has a tremendous amount of profanity within their message, degrading one another, degrading each other, and saying things that definitely would not be heard across any pulpit that call themselves Christian or in faith or a believer. And so here we hear them, even in the message of their music, thanking God for their success. But again, all successes are not kingdom successes. And I want to end my message today prayerfully show you that using the greatest example any of us can use as an example, and that is the life of Jesus himself. Now, many of you know I love the verse coming out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 that gives us to seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Prosperity does not mean you have God's favor in mind. A level of success does not mean you're serving God. For we know that there are wicked people all over the world. We hear the stories day in and day out of people doing damnable things to other people. And at no time can you call those things godly. But yet we see a lot of people saying, I give God the glory. I want to make this proclamation that everyone that's calling or saying or making a statement to God be the glory is not talking about the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the creator of everything. Everybody that says God is not talking about the one true creator, the one true God. So that God, the word God, is a generic term, and it is relevant to the individual using the name. And so when you seek first the kingdom of God, again, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and it simply reads, but seek. It's amazing he put this conjunction after telling you not to worry, after telling you that God take care of things. He comes back and says, but seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of man, which we're in right now. This is the age of man. We're living in time. And so we're living based on what we know and understand right now. But we're given by Christ this instruction to seek first, not second, not third, not fourth, the kingdom of God and his, not yours, not mine, not that establishment, not the religious institution which you may be a part of, but seek first his, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness. Once you've done that, then all these things shall be added. The problem is we want all those things added first. We want God to be our genie in the lamp. When we put our hands together and pray, we act as if that we're rubbing the lamp. And did God just going to magically appear? What is thy wish, my son? What is thy wish, my daughter? Foolishness. The creator that created us does not have to answer to us when we are outside of his will. Now, let me jump ahead in my message just a little bit. If you on a vehicle or you had a device, equipment, came along with that vehicle was an owner's manual. Came along with that equipment was a owner's manual, was a manual that stated to you that this product is guaranteed by the manufacturer, provided is used for its original purpose. And when you decide to use it
outside of the scope of its original purpose, then you have voided the warranty. Many people are walking around now today in bodies that have been voided of their original warranty. Oh, my God. Help us today. Help us today. So let me get back on track here. So the kingdom, let's go back to that. Kingdom. Why is that so important? Well, in Matthew chapter 3, let's turn over to it. I'm so used to using my digital devices, I decided to pick up the paper, the physical Bible. Amen. Matthew chapter 3, let's look there around this. This message, this chapter here, introduced to us John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. In other words, before Christ came, someone was introducing him. Someone was getting things ready for him to come on. Those of you that are in the entertainment world, that goes to clubs or goes to concerts and different things, talent shows or what have you, comedy shows, before the main event, there's always someone to come and to break the ice, so to speak. There's a performance. There's someone else who's also talented that will prepare the audience, that will get things in line so that when the main event starts, you can enjoy it to its fullest. Well, John the Baptist was the forerunner. He was the act before the main event. And he came on the scene in verse 2 of chapter 3 in the book of Matthew. He came on the scene and he was preaching and saying to the people, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's what he came preaching. So when we get over to Matthew chapter 4, we see that when in chapter 3, when Jesus came to John and John was baptizing people for the remission of sin, telling them to surrender their sin and turn back to God. Jesus came and John said, "I need to be baptized of you." And he said, "No, suffer it to be so that we may fulfill all righteousness." So Christ came on the scene, him being Lord of Lords, him being all-powerful, almighty. He came subject to leadership. So we learn at the very beginning that God honors leadership. I'm going to say that again. God himself honors leadership. So God did not even allow Jesus to circumvent leadership. How do you know that for sure? Look over in the fourth chapter of Matthew and find the 17th verse. The Bible says that from that time, Jesus began to preach. That means he wasn't preaching before. Before, he was honoring his father Joseph, helping his brothers and sisters take care of their mother. So he was probably doing the family business of carpentry. It is safe to say that. But after his wilderness experience. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. Once he proved himself, then he came on the scene, picking up from where John the Baptist left off. We read over there in verse 2 of chapter 3 that John's message was repentance, for the kingdom God is at hand. So Jesus picked up the message, and he began to resound from where John left off. And that is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So here it is. We see Christ going through some things. Now you're saying, what do that have to do with success? Well, true success is not measured in just money, houses, and land, cars, women, drugs, alcohol, whatever. That's not the measurement of true success, not kingdom success. Kingdom success is fulfilling the God-given purpose for your life. The Bible says that they that live godly shall suffer persecution. And so we know that in Mark, Jesus was talking and he was telling the disciples that the Son of Man must suffer many things. And they loved Jesus, no doubt. Peter is speaking on behalf of the group. No, Lord, none of these things shall happen to you. And he's thinking that he's saying something that is good. Because who want the Lord of Lords to suffer? Who want the King of Glory to endure hardship? Certainly not the followers. So what he said sounded good. But everything that sounds good is not good. The Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends are the very means of death. So Peter thinking that he's saying something courageous. No, Lord. Thinking he rebuking the Lord. No, Lord, not so. Jesus looking at the faces of the disciples. He's looking at them and seeing how they gravitated to the words of Peter. And probably within themselves resounded the very same thing. But not knowing that there was an enemy operating in the airways speaking. And just so happened, Peter resounded the airways. Got to be careful what we listen to. Got to be careful about what we hear. That we are resounding the words of God and not the words of men. And Jesus turned and rebuked Peter, but he was rebuking the atmosphere in which Peter was speaking from. He said, you're not saying the things of God. And all of us would have been confused right then and there, because you would think that to not want God to suffer would be something God wanted. But that was not the case. They that live godly shall suffer persecution. And so here it is. He said to him, you are not saying the things of God, but the things of men. Get thee behind me, Satan. And we're going to learn that today in this lesson, that the enemy comes against you and I by attacking our identity. And when you are confused about who you are and what's your purpose, then the enemy can present things to you that seems good, that has a sense of good, but the ends of those things are the things of death. Because the wages of sin is death. And what is sin? Sin is the direct disobedience of the word of God. And so when we don't do the things that God has stated, then those things are clarified, clearly defined as sin. And sin separates us from a holy God. Let me look into our lesson today. Again, we're in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we see here, looking at verse number 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible reads, "And then was Jesus led up." He was led where? Up. He wasn't led down. Got to be mindful of who's leading you and where you're being led to. He was led up by the Spirit, not down. The whole point of fellowship is to lift you up, not to tear you down. The only thing that we want torn down is the works of Satan. But we want you as an individual to be lifted up, to be built up. So here's Jesus, the Bible says, and this happened after John had baptized him. And so he now is on his 40-day journey of being tested, of being proven. And he was led that direction by the Spirit. The Spirit did not tempt him. The tempter tempted him. Let's read it in the text. Verse 1 again. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit," capital S-P-I-R-I-T, the Holy Spirit, "into the wilderness." I mean, he wasn't in the city. He wasn't in a safe place. Could have been tigers and other wildlife animals there, and the harshness of the elements, the rocks, and all of this surrounding the outer skirts of the city, where thieves and robbers may lie in hiding and wait for passengers passing by. He being led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. King James said, of the devil. Your version may say, of the tempter, but of the devil. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards a hunger." Now, for 40 days and 40 nights, he's going through this hard time. And so we go back, here's a fallback on it. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, if." You got to be careful when people start off their conversation with you in what I want to call a provoking statement. If you, conditional, if, in other words, you're being challenged to prove something, you're being challenged to verify something. And here we see the tempter, that's the devil, tempting him with these words. So, number one, I want to call this out as a fighting word. Mm-hmm. Pastor, you sure you want to talk about fighting? Yes, I do. Because the Bible tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So that's a fight. Wrestling is an action of fighting. And so here it is. Here's a fighting word. But this fight is one that is spiritual, not physical. So in your spirit, I want you to tune in to these fighting words when the enemy come your way with them. Number one, challenging, do you know who you are? Do you know what you can do? Well, if you can do this, because remember on the cross, if you be the Son of God, come off the cross. Well, he is the Son of God. But his purpose was to fulfill the kingdom agenda. Had he came out, we would not have kingdom success because he would have violated the principle in why he initially came. So the enemy attacks you to get you off of your God-given purpose. The enemy attacks you with your identity to get you sidetracked, to get you looking at what other people have, get you looking at what people have said, this and that, to make you miss the mark of the purpose of God for your life. My goodness, time is really flying by. I feel like I just started. Amen. Y'all allow me just to take my time with this message today. Allow me to just to take my time because I got to make sure that there's a clear distinction in this message, that we will no longer fall prey to the traps and the snares of the enemy challenging us to prove who we are to him. When the proof is in the pudding. Jesus had told them who he was. And his final words to them was, if you don't believe me, in other words, you ain't believing what I say, believe your eyes. See the work that I do. Let the work verify me. And what I want to say to all believers today, you don't have to prove that you are a born-again believer. Let your work prove it. What I want to say to every Christian, you don't have to prove your Christianity to anyone. You let the work prove it. The way I know a mechanic is a real mechanic is when I take him a broken vehicle and the vehicle returned by his hand fixed, and prove who he is. Uh-huh. My vehicle go to him broken and it comes back unfixed and then has flat tires. It proved to me that I have made a serious, grave mistake in trusting the shown up wrong individual. Lord, help today. So fight word number one. Fight word number one. We see it in verse 3. We see it here in verse 3. Verse 3 says, he says these words, and when the tempter came unto him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, challenging him to prove who he is, command these stones to be made bread. Commanding him to do something that he wasn't sent to do, even though he can do it. The Apostle Paul said, all things are lawful, but not expediently. It was lawful for him to do that because he is the creator. He was the one that said, let there be, and then there was. So he had every right to do that. And most of you that heard me in the past, this was a setup. Because any time you go on a long fast, if your fast have lasted 21 days, that means you've gone 3 weeks without eating, your stomach by nature has already reverted to a shrinking stage. Bread has yeast in it. And anything that has yeast in it continue to expand, especially after it has been added to it, been fluid. In your body, you have stomach acid, which is a fluid. Had Christ obeyed that temptation and consumed the bread would have got into his system, into his now 40-day smaller stomach, and expanded. And it would expand it to a rate that would cause the stomach, because his body is weak from the fast. So that means his resistance are weaker. But the acid in his stomach is still strong. It would dissolve and cause the bread to expand, and that expansion would have exploded his stomach from the inside. He would have had killed him then. You got to be careful when people are setting you up. Because everybody that's saying nice things to you are not saying them to set you up, but really saying them to bring you down. Be careful. So he said, so the number one fight, that first fighting word was, if thou be. And we see that in verse 3. And we'll come back. We'll fall back and deal with what he said. But then we see again the tempter over in verse 6. Over in verse 6, we see the tempter tempting him again with something that he can do. And I thank Sister Ruth for reading this earlier. It was in the psalm that she wrote, Psalm 91. Was the prophecy concerning Christ and the protection that God offer him and us as children of the Most High to protect us lest that we dash our foot against the stone. But the temptation here was not one of protection, because God will keep us safe. God will provide for us, take care of us. But the covering of God does not include suicide. Oh, yes. It doesn't do. Read the text. He says, verse number 6, and said unto him, condition again, if thou be the Son of God, he's challenging him again, cast thou self down. He's telling him now, since I couldn't kill you, that was the first test, kill yourself. You're so covered, kill yourself. Hurt yourself on purpose. This is my answer to all that want to partake into the indulging of drugs and alcohol, illegal drugs, and excessive alcohol. To all of you that want to do this, you are committing self suicide, whether slow or fast. You are challenging God to take care of you while you purposely harm your body. This does apply to those overindulged in eating. The enemy comes at us at so many ways that we don't even understand the fight, because we didn't understand the fight word. The fight word was there. We didn't know we was engaged in a fight because we didn't listen to the words that was being said to us. There's no way for me to be a diabetic on insulin and then eat foods that goes against the principle of my diet or my way of life and then say I'm going to pray over it and God going to bless it because this is what I wanted. Not this is all I had to eat, but this is what I wanted. And because I want it, God going to bless it and it ain't going to hurt me. Those prayers, I'm sorry to say, and you're welcome to argue it, but those prayers are unanswered prayers. Because if God has already given you his word, what to do and how to do, and you already have an understanding of what you need to do and what you should be doing, and you make the conscious decision to do anything contrary to your well-being, then the consequences of your actions, you have to pay. I'm going to say it again. The consequences of your actions, you have to pay. We're going to move on. Verse 6 again says, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Cast thyself where? Down. The Spirit led him where? Up. But now the tempter is leading him where? Down. The Spirit of the Lord led him where? Up. The tempter is leading him where? Down. The Spirit of the Lord led him where? Up. But the tempter is leading him where? Down. Understand this tug of war here. God wants you to come up. The devil want to keep you down. And then he got slick because the first time he overcame him with a word, so he thought to use another word to trick him up. So everybody that's saying the word of God ain't necessarily speaking for God because the devil here says to him, it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus could have said, yeah, you know, you're right. Psalms 91, I command you to be in ashes, and threw himself down. Jesus would have been dead because he was in the flesh. Christ would have died before he fulfilled his given purpose. That means you and I will still be in our sin because his sin would have been he had aborted God's original plan for his life. So we see that in verse 6. The third fighting words, we don't look at it, but that third fighting word. So the two fighting words are the same, but they may come with different statements. One may want you to try to prove God, prove that you belong to God by materializing things that's going to hurt you. The other may cause you to do things through physical actions that will hurt you, okay? And so in this fourth one, the enemy is looking at him, and we're at verse 9, and the enemy is looking at him, and he says unto him, all these things, all what things? These things. Now, I know we read over when we get to chapter 6, we're going to read, and all these things shall be added. But now here it is, before that, we're in chapter 4, and we read the enemy, the tempter, is saying to Yahshua, the word that became flesh, Yeshua. He's saying to the Jesus here, he's saying to him, all these things will I give thee. I'm going to give you these. And he had the authority to say, I'm going to give these things to you because they belong to him. But the condition was, you got to come down. And on the cross, he was faced with that same temptation again. Come down, and we'll believe. He had already been, thank God he was faced with it in the wilderness. Because on the cross, had he gave in to it, we would still be in our sins. And how many people are looking at the life that we live and basing it on the relationship that they should have with God based on the things that they see us do and say? We that call ourselves the children of the Most High. All right now. Verse 9 again reads, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou will fall down and worship me. All. So in other words, all this stuff that you're looking at, you can have it, but you got to worship me. And the world is offering you, and we go back to the book of Mark, chapter 8, and it's even that last verse or the next to the last verse, it says, and what will a man exchange for his soul? Oh, my goodness. Help us today, Lord. Help us today. I'm going to turn it there. Mark chapter 8. Y'all that got your book, Bible, let's look at that. Let's turn to that. That's worth taking some time to look at. Mark chapter 8. I didn't realize these pages were so thin. I'm so glad I picked up my Bible again. You're thinking you're flipping over one chapter. You don't. The page is so thin. You don't turn two chapters. You don't turn two books. Mark chapter 8, and we'll go there. Verse 36 says, "For what shall it profit?" Profit. That means benefit. That's addition. What will it add to you? What will it benefit you? What will it add to you as an individual? What will it profit a man, any man, any woman? What will it profit you if he shall gain the whole world? What would it profit you if you gained the whole world? Gained the whole world. And lose your soul. So the text reads, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's bargaining going on every day for your soul. The enemy is trying to sell us out. He wants us to give up our free gift, that free agent that God has given us, that free will through our soul to control it. The battle is making sure that we don't let this flesh dictate what our soul know to be true. Oh, that's a whole nother lesson. We ain't gonna stay there. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Then it says verse 38, the last verse, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. And my words. Same with me. If you're afraid to claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're afraid to claim Christ, I'm going to say it that way, for all of you that want to use the Yahshua. He said, if you're afraid to claim me, if you're afraid to own me in front of everybody else, then I'm not going to own you in front of my fathers and the holy angels. That's what it says. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous, and this what? Adulterous and sinful generation. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of the Father with the holy angels. So, this lesson is not over, but I got to stop. We need to be in our fellowship time. So let me recap these three words that are fighting words for you. This message is not a war. We got to go to a part two because we identify with the enemy's fighting words. We identify with the words that have declared war against us. So now we have to go and identify how we win the fight, how we win the war with the words that have already been given to us to win by. See, I don't have to win physically to fight you. In other words, I can't physically beat down the devil. As much as I may want to, as much as it may do me self-satisfaction, the physical confrontation is not what it's about. It's a spiritual thing, so therefore the satisfaction must be that to my soul. And God has given me his word to gain victory. And it is in the words that we are given to give us victory can we truly enjoy victory and have and walk in victory. We'll come to those words later. So we're going to recap these three fighting words. These three fighting words are the first two are the same words but has different purpose. Word number one, if thou be, when you are challenged with your identity to prove something to someone. That's the tempter tempting you. In that same vein, if you are challenged with your identity to be something, to live or die by, when you are challenged that way to sacrifice your life, not for a godly cause, not to save lives, but to gain stuff, what will a man exchange for his soul? So we need to be asking ourselves the question, why am I doing this? Why did I build this wonderful edifice? Why did I go and buy this brand new car? Why did I get this house? Why did I marry this person? Why did I have children out of wedlock? Why did I build this business? Why am I speaking to you? When we ask ourselves the question why, We need to listen closely to the answer. Number three, that third fighting word is, if you will fall down. In other words, when you take your position and put yourself under someone's foot, not under their authority, under their foot. When you let your life decisions be made by their every spoken word, for whom you yield your bodies to, are you the servant of? So when you yield your body to drugs and alcohol, you are the servant of drugs and alcohol. When you yield your body to money and sex, then you are the servant of money and sex. But when you yield your body to Elohim, when you yield your body to Yahweh, Jehovah, the self-sufficient one, when you yield your body to the only true creator, your creator, my creator, then and only then have you went up and not down. Thank you for listening to me today. I thank you for allowing me to have the opportunity to speak into your life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's real simple. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tell us how to do that. We want you to find a Bible teaching church ministering in your area. Find that. Join up with them. Yoke up with them. You don't necessarily have to join the church right then and there, but be a part of it. Listen to the words that are being taught. Follow along with the speaker that's speaking and learn what God is saying to the people today. Yes, the Bible was written a long time ago, but the Bible is living and breathing, and he is speaking to us now. Have you heard him lately? If you haven't, maybe, just maybe, you're not his. Because Jesus said, my sheep knows my voice, and a stranger, they will not follow. Hey, I love you with the love of Christ. Jesus wants you to live. He saves, he delivers, and he wants you to have your best life. But you have to want your best life. Don't compromise to get better. Be led of the Spirit so that you will be made better. Thank you. I love you with the love of Christ. I'm going to open up my mic, all the mics now, to those of you that are on, that's still on. Had a couple calls drop out, but God bless you. I hope you all enjoyed the program on this evening. And let us go into our fellowship hall. How was that? Anybody got some good notes?
Hello?
Yeah, it was a good messenger, Pastor Bonnet.
Great message. Great message.
Oh, all right. What did you get from it? Well, anybody got something uniquely from it or one thing that stuck out for you? I'm just surveying the land right now. I just want to know, anybody got something particular that resonated with you?
Well, when they kept tempting them to come down and you said had he did that, we would still been in sin. So they was taunting God, Jesus had come down off the cross, and had he did that, we would still have been in sin. So that,
wow.
I didn't realize that. And then, even after not eating for 40 days, had he just ate that little piece of bread, that would have exploded his stomach. I mean, so that was interesting right there.
That's good. That's good.
That's great. Overall.
Thank you. Thank you. I like that. I like that. Anybody else? Got a couple of notes, a little takeaways? Amen. Come on. I like that, Brother Charles. That's good. Anybody else? Now, all the lines are open, and all you have to do is speak out. Amen. Anybody got something particular from the message today, something that stuck with you, something that resonated with you, whether you already knew it or not?
All right. I got the same thing Charles got. And what I was getting from the message was that temptation when people try you or tempt you is not fall and pray, because the devil wants to pull you down, but God wants to pull us up. And I kept thinking about different situations in life, and I'm human like the next person. Sometimes I've been subjected to, and I'll say this, I have a great deal of patience, but it's just like when you keep poking that bear is going to handle the situations. And there have been times I've handled it in a godly way, and then there was times I allowed myself to stoop to their level to make sure they heard me clearly. With me. Let me stay in my peace.
Amen. Oh, you got to hear part two, then. You got to hear part two, and that's where I'm coming at.
Okay.
Don't come down to their level. That's where I'm coming at. Hey, I'm so glad you said that. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else, please? Anyone else?
Now, I know somebody else should have got something out of that. Pastor, we got Wolfgang, we got Ruthie Wolfgang, we got Wolfgang. Who else we got on the line with us? Somebody should have got something out of that besides us.
Amen. We lost a few callers earlier. Looked like we lost about three lines there, but I know we got the Wolfgangs with us, and I'm not sure if that's Emily Lyon or not. But and we lost Lila. She was on earlier, but she hung up too.
Wow. I don't believe it. Come on, Wolfgang, where you at?
Well, basically, what I got.
There he is.
Go ahead, Ruth.
I want you to talk first, and then I'll go.
Okay, basically, what I got is, hey, no matter how much you're tempted, you got God on your side. You got Him to help you out, because the Bible tells us He's not going to put on you any more than you can bear.
All right, and He does say that.
Yeah, and the Lord sticks by you for never everything you do. I mean, my favorite scripture is trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding, all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And not only my angel experience, but other places I've been to where even I was in the middle of a winter storm and I was almost hit by a car, but God put that car somewhere else, and I was able to get where I had to go, and I still got home in the middle of the worst winter storm I think I'd ever seen. So God's always there.
Amen. You know, that's what I said, Pastor. I said, I know the Wolfgangs, they got to be away from the phone or something, because I know they got something from that.
Absolutely.
Probably going to get some more coffee, huh?
I need me some more coffee. I got a point.
Kenny, that's
here.
What I forgot. I got to make your coffee or your mocha soon here.
Are you drinking mocha now, Wolfgang? You ain't tell me about that.
Sometimes we do coffee. Sometimes we do mocha. I had cherry Coke today, or cherry pop of some type. And I've been trying to get into my coffee mood again, so I'm going to try it again here shortly.
Okay.
Mocha. Yeah, I had some coffee earlier, the donut blend, and and then I was drinking some Mountain Dew with some fruit punch in it.
right now. Now, is it mocha coffee and chocolate?
Yeah,
it's cocoa. Yeah, it's cocoa. It tastes
cocoa.
Good together, but you better make sure you get not too much in there, because those few times I almost choked on it. So coffee is good alone, and cocoa is good alone. Sometimes if you put them together, make sure there's plenty of liquid.
I guess so, because you go to adding that cocoa to your coffee, you got to stir it in real good, a little bit at a time.
Oh, well, you know what? This is why to this day I just stick with coffee. You know, where I have a barista. Oh, try cinnamon. And I tried cinnamon. And when I tell you I got down to the last drink of the coffee and I had a mouthful of cinnamon, I said, what the heck is this? And so no more cinnamon for me.
I love cinnamon. If you do it, if you brew it, the cinnamon in with the coffee bean, that keeps you from having a lot of cinnamon in the cup. Now you can pour cinnamon because you can drink cinnamon, but if you're gonna add it to your coffee, you only want maybe about 2-3 shakes at the most from. If your cinnamon shaker has many holes in it, because you don't want to put too much in there, because it, you know, when you're drinking coffee, you have this defense mechanism that if something comes in your mouth, and you know coffee don't have no, it's not like drinking orange juice with the pulp, so you're gonna have that reaction to it. Because, you know, the coffee is supposed to be smooth by itself, and so it'll make you think that you're about to drink the coffee bean. And so you'll react to it. But if you put the cinnamon in with the grinds and you brew it through the filter that way, it does not give you the heavy residue of cinnamon inside the cup, but you still get the
enjoy
the flavor. It
helps if you open it at the right side too.
Amen.
And not overdo it.
That was my first suggestion. Make sure you got the side with the holes in it that don't let a little bit out at a time, and that's gonna make the world of a difference. But That's almost like I said about my first time when I had wasabi. You know, sometimes, you know, if you're not sure what you're doing, you know, you can have a amazing experience that will last you a lifetime. And I never forget.
That's priceless to see.
I spread that wasabi on my sushi like it was peanut butter. And the waitress said, no, and you would have thought that the stress in her voice would have made me retract everything. But I was in my 20s, young and cocky, and I'm like, I like hot. I love hot. No, too hot. And I did retract half of it. And she said, no, still too much. I said, I love hot. And had the audacity to stick it in my mouth.
Uh-huh.
And the rest was history. When I watched Spider-Man and he had these spider senses and the TV show kind of showed like he feel everything around him, I literally had that experience where I felt the very air in the room moving. My head felt like I felt wind from everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What is that?
So, yes, sometimes the experiences that we can have will give us a life lesson. And that was mine. When somebody say no, no, you might want to listen.
No, too much.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that was an experience.
That wasabi. First time I did the wasabi, I guess my face would have been priceless, too.
Oh, it was.
And they
jumped up out that chair. He couldn't catch himself. That was priceless. He wouldn't listen either, so I just... Sometimes you got to let them experience it.
They, you know, they say a hard head make a soft behind, but because I don't think I was sitting down either. I think I did jump up.
and we'll wait for Monday for part two, because being this is a Christian show, we'll wait tomorrow for part two.
All I know is...
I said a little bit tasted with ginger.
All I know is it was the experience. and it's amazing that I still eat sushi today after that. I do eat wasabi, but not all the time. So I have to be in the mood for the wasabi. I learned that a little dab will do you.
Yeah. Just a second, I'm on the phone for her birthday. See if we can sing happy birthday to her. That'll make her day. Okay.
To your aunt?
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
All right. On three. Y'all ready? On three.
Well,
we're going to sing together.
Gotta get her on the phone first.
Oh, okay. Get on the phone. We waiting. I was ready to sing.
I tried to call and I got the voicemail. I love Aunt Lavora. She don't play.
Yeah. 83, she probably old school to the fullest.
Yes. Gotta love her. I remember when we was at the picnic and one of Charles' cousins had sat on the table. He need to get his behind off the table where we eat our food. Get your butt off that table. I was hollering. I was thinking the same thing, but she just opened her mouth and said. I said, I don't know these people like that. But she did, and she got him. Yes, ma'am.
Her mailbox is full, so I couldn't get her, but we'll try her on tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I was just telling them about when we was at the picnic, the family reunion, and I forgot which one of your cousins that sat on the table, but she lit him up. Look at him sitting over there on the table with his butt on the table where we eat. Get your butt off that table.
And being this is a show, we're changing the words.
Hmm?
Yeah, okay.
We're changing the words.
Yeah.
I do
it's
understand.
A fireball, but you a lover.
It's your birthday. Would this one be good for a birthday song?
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, it's your birthday, happy birthday,
To all the birthday listeners out there today, we just want to say from the Six Eyes Radio Network, happy birthday.
Aunt Laura.
I had water while y'all was drinking coffee.
I need some more water. We definitely need to drink more water at times, I tell you.
I'm trying to wipe my teeth from all this coffee drinking.
Well.
And I'd like to invite everybody on the last Thursday of this month on the Jumbo Braille program. We got a guy that's going to be on. He's a handyman. He's legally blind, and he's a handyman. He's going to be doing a show to kind of let you guys ask questions about different how to do it, your do-it-yourself projects. If you got any questions on how to do it yourself, you could join us on that night, 9 o'clock, on the last Thursday of this month.
Oh, wow. I definitely make sure you announce that several times throughout the month. That's going to be very interesting.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I like hearing stories of people who overcome diversity. I think they are the true test of the human spirit of not giving up. There's a song, oh, my God, oh, my God. It just hit me. I was driving... Friday evening. I was going to do a job, and I had been listening to one of my favorite speakers on YouTube, and somehow or another I end up hitting the YouTube thing, and it switched over to the AIG, American Got Talent. There was a woman, and I think they called her Nightbird. She had her testimony, in short, was she has cancer with a 2% outcome. But she did not lead with that, nor was it part of the foreground. She came out. She was very happy. Just kind of nonchalant, and she was talking just real free, and it was. And, you know, a lot of times some of the people that can't sing, you know, they have that, you know, I got it all together type thing, and you just waiting on them to bust it. And she was saying, they asked her, well, what will you sing for us today? She said, I'm going to sing a song called It's Okay. She said, I'm going to sing an original song called It's Okay. And so the title made them make a couple more remarks. And that's how we found out she had cancer, because how we end up saying something to her. And she answered, she responded with the cancer. And so Howie said, so you're not okay. And she responded to her. I'm telling you, I'll probably play it tomorrow on the Monday Night Motivational. Her testimony, hands down, just blew me away, because her statement was 2%, it was still enough for her to be happy about, for her to enjoy life, that she wasn't going to allow her enjoyment in life to be stopped because of lack of anything else. And so that was the wonderful thing, to hear that type testimony of someone that have decided that I'm going to live my life and I'm not going to allow the negative of my life take me down. And the song, she had a wonderful voice. Song was equally wonderful, and it was just simply her saying it was okay. You know, she made a decision that she thought was one way. She realized she made a mistake, but that's okay.
And she found out that it was okay to tell people that she made a mistake. So it was just real nice, just real nice. And something that I had started to send to you, but I was driving, and I forgot to send it to you later. But I think you will enjoy that testimony. Hello.
That's a blessing. That's beautiful right there. That's great.
Man, so, yeah, it blessed me, man. Real. I called my wife up on the phone. I say, listen, I want you to go to YouTube and I want you to type in. And I gave her the title to type in. Because I just think it's anybody that's going through something in life right now where you're finding it hard to hold on, you need to hear that there's other people who are in hard or bad situations that are still holding on. So if they can find a reason to hold on, then so can you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's so true.
Oh, I didn't know. Shoot, I want it from the AIG. And so when she, while she's talking, right, so at the end of the song, here's what happened. At the end of the song, you know, they vote. And so at the end of the song, Simon, you know, he says to her, we have, all of them commented on her authenticity, and which was good comment. And Simon started off saying, we had a lot of good, talented people on here. He says, so I'm not going to give you a yes. And the crowd went, yes, for me, you know, started booing. But then he said, I'm going to give you something better. And he gave her the golden ticket.
Wow.
My sight. Yes, listen. I can pull it up.
Oh, we're happy you are. What's your name?
My name's Jane. When I sing, I go by Nightbird.
Oh, that's nice.
Nightbird?
That's right.
Do you sing for a living?
Not recently.
Where are you from?
I'm from Zanesville, Ohio.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 30.
30 years old. And the dream is to be a singer. What are you going to be singing for us tonight?
I'm singing an original song called It's Okay.
It's Okay?
Yeah.
It is. It's Okay.
It's Okay.
What is It's Okay about?
It's Okay is the story of the last year of my life.
All right. And who are you here with?
I'm here by myself.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And what do you do for a living?
I have not been working for quite a few years. I've been dealing with cancer.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right. Can I ask you a question? How are you now?
Last time I checked, I had some cancer in my lungs, my spine, and my liver.
Wow. So you're not okay?
Well, not in every way, no.
You got a beautiful smile and a beautiful glow, and nobody would know.
Thank you. It's important that everyone knows I'm so much more than the bad things that happen to me.
Yes.
All right. Sing for us.
Good luck. Nightbird.
California in the summertime. I changed my name thinking that it would change my mind. I saw it, all my problems, they would stay behind.
power just to be dynamite. And it just was a matter of time, yeah. Oh, day, oh, my, now I can't defend myself, but I guess I lied. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. If you're lost, we're all in love, and it's alright. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. If you're lost, we're all in love, and it's alright. It's alright, it's alright, it's alright. I wrote 100 pages, but I burned them all. Yeah, I burned them all. I blow the three yellow lights and don't look back at all. I don't look back at all, oh dang, oh my, now I can't hold. Said I knew what I wanted, but I guess I lied. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. It's your loss, we're all gonna lose, and it's alright. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. It's your loss, we're all gonna lose, and it's alright. Oh, it's alright to be lost sometimes.
Wow. You know, it's funny because singers come on and I think about authenticity. You know, when you feel it, when it moves you, that felt like the most authentic thing I have heard this season.
It was powerful, it was heartfelt, and I think you're amazing.
You gave me chills. I mean, your voice is so beautiful to listen to. It's so beautiful.
Your voice is stunning.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Absolutely stunning. And I totally agree with what Howie said, you know, about authenticity. There was something about that song after the way you just almost casually told us what you're going through. And, you know.
You can't wait until life isn't hard anymore before you decide to be happy.
There are, however, there have been some great singers this year. And I'm not going to give you it yet. I'm going to give you something else.
In other words, what blessed me was she said, you can't wait till things are all right before you decide to be happy. And if there's ever a message to gravitate to, you can't wait for everything to be all right in your life to decide to be happy. You got to get up in the morning and decide that this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall be glad and rejoice in it. You have to make that up in your mind even before you leave the house. And so, you know, the only thing I want to say to her, if I could, you know, you may have been lost, but if you find Jesus, you don't have to be lost no more.
Amen.
Because And so I'm just blown away by the testimony. So many people give up when diversity hits them.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about how unfair life is. But she had been battling cancer in trying to just live a life and still has cancer. But decided it's okay. So, to me, that's just it's a testimony.
Can I add to that?
You can add.
Amen. When you said that, and I was telling Charles, I lost my cousin Keisha this week, who had been battling cancer, and she was such an inspiration to so many because through all her battles, she got through it. Cancer was gone. It came back. She battled again. She got over it, and then it came back again. And even though she was tired of fighting, she kept us all inspired through all that she was dealing with. And still had that spirit of fighting it. And then I noticed that I hadn't seen her post because she would tell us about when she had treatments coming up, her results from her treatments, you know, after her treatments and whatnot. And one time I saw her dancing with her siblings, you know, even through all that she was going through. She was up and listening to music and dancing. And it was an inspiration, and she kept posting on Facebook and everything. And like I said, when I noticed, and somebody else said that they had noticed, and I was just like, well, I hope she's okay. And before I could get a chance to call or send her a message, I saw that she had passed. And I'm like, wow. And I thought about my other cousin, and I said, well, they're up there, you know, in heaven together now, you know. But it was just the inspiration, and those people who are fighting something and still trying to live through whatever they're dealing with show their strength to inspire those who are not having challenges. You know, and I look at myself and with my challenges and being in a wheelchair, and I still do. So I know I'm an inspiration to others, but I don't think about that. Even though I'm in pain, I'm still doing. Charles lost his sight. Missionary Ken doesn't have his sight. Neither one of them have their sight. But they're still living. They're still trying. They're still pursuing. So let it be an inspiration to those who have, you know, everything going well for them, not to take it for granted. Because any day, your life can change. Mine did, from a car accident. But I'm still going. I'm still blessed. And I still thank God.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else have something they would like to say?
In life, you're going to have some ups, you're going to have some downs, but just don't give up on yourself because God doesn't give up on you.
Amen. I'm so glad that he keeps on his grace. His grace gives us opportunity after opportunity to line up, to get in line, you know. We know his grace don't tarry always, but I'm so glad that it tarried long enough till I can get in the right relationship, right fellowship with him.
Amen. And you also, you had part of your job on remote, but yet you still came on here and gave us the word. So we thank you.
Right. Yeah, right after surgery. I mean, and you still got some women looking for you.
Wow. Oh, Jesus, help him, Lord. Help him. Help him, Lord.
Amen.
Man, we all have to keep it moving. The scripture reading for today that was read by Sister Ruth Wolfgang, do anybody remember it?
Psalms 91, 1 through 16.
Yay.
All right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Before we get off, let's check our pepper trap. Let's see what's inside. Ruth?
Okay, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm here. We
got
it. Okay.
We
got
Be not forgetful.
I'm ready.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, and I got the same problem with Kenny. He's adorable, too, but I'm sorry, but he's mine. And these people really got him. Too bad. Because I've had some people actually like him, and they said, I'm sorry, but we're married. Bye. Okay. All right, here's the scripture now.
That's
Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Okay, I'll do it again. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Yeah, we probably all had that happen, maybe.
Hebrews 13:2, KJV.
All right, good job. I knew she could do it sometime. I'm glad to hear Nikhail's voice again.
Amen. Amen. That was Hebrew. What chapter?
13:2.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. If you guys want the one for next week,
go ahead.
My first one. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day.
Okay, again, Ruthie.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day.
Wow. That's something to think about right there. Mm. I can't talk about it because then it'll tell them where it's at, so.
Yeah, Pastor Bonnet knows about prophecy, so I imagine you know about where that's at. Yep.
Yes, ma'am. It's a good lesson within that that text.
It is.
You know, quiet as a kept. Now, if God made change to lock up angels that changed their estate,
not there. They didn't better themselves, but they changed. I'm going to give you a clear example of change that is not godly. You were born a male, period. And now you've took measures to make yourself be or appear to be female and have claimed that as now your new identity. That is the abomination that God is not pleased, period. These are the ones, because, you know, we tread upon dangerous waters because the scripture does say, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so when we speak on things that God is not pleased with and things that will cause people's soul to be condemned to hell, many times people think that we're speaking hate. It is not hatred to tell you that what you have done or are doing is something that's going to condemn you. If you wanted to play, and I tell you, you live on a busy street, you can't play in it. I'm not telling you something out of hatred. I'm telling you something to preserve your life. At the end of this life, the immortal soul that rests within each of us has to take residence somewhere. But the difference is it don't determine that then. It determines that now. It's in this life that determines where that life will be spent for all eternity. So when we speak of things that are condemnation, we're not condemning you. You are already condemned by your actions. Our statements are so that you won't remain condemned. The speed limit sign that is posted that says 55 miles per hour. And you say, well, my car can go 120. I feel I paid for it, that I can go ahead and drive 120. And many times while we're driving, we see a sign, a lit sign, that shows the speed that you are now traveling. And it blinks at you when you're over the speed limit to slow down. That is not hate. That is warning. And you choose not to slow down. And you maintain the same speed. Well, the box that comes up after that tracks your speed. And so when the blue lights get behind you,
You can't say, I didn't know. You won't be able to say, you can say whatever you want to say, but you will not be justified, period, because the limit was already posted. And what we're saying as believers, God has already given us the limits. If we choose to make a conscious decision to not abide by those limits, then we have inadvertently accepted the consequences of those actions. That is not hate. Thank you. Ms. Nakin, you got something you want to add to that?
Nope, I think you said it well. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, once again, we have enjoyed all of our listeners. We enjoyed you, our participants. And it has been a wonderful program here on the Six Eyes Gospel Show. We want to say thank you for all of our listeners. Now, if you like to be a part of the program, you can always dial during the service times that will be given later. 425-292-44. No, you can't. That's not the number. That's my number. So I had to pause right there, giving y'all the wrong number. But, Charles, what's that number they can call to be a part of? 424-243-9617. Press the number 1 to join the conversation. And God bless you. Amen and amen. Looking forward to seeing you all on tomorrow night on this Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. Hey, we got a new programming for you on Tuesday at 8 p.m., and it is The Word of the King on the Six Eyes Radio. Join that new programming at 8 p.m. We're looking forward to you all on our Bible study night. That's Wednesday on the Six Eyes Gospel Bible Study. Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. On Thursday, the Jumbo Braille program will be here at 9 p.m. We're looking forward to the last Thursday of this month for that special guest that's going to be coming to share some information with us. And Missionary Ken will be talking to us about that as the days go on. On Friday, you get to talk with Missionary Ken Wolfgang and Sister Ruth Gang in Bible Prophecy. These programmings are wonderful programming. We're looking to see you. And all as always, God bless you. God keep you. We love you with the love of Christ. Until then, may God be with you.
Amen.
I think we're about to share with that. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each of us here, now, and forever. Let everyone say, Amen. God bless you.
I didn't hear your mic.
There you go. There it is. I knew I went Baptist. Brother Ken was going to step on out there.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Another thing. All right, catch you tomorrow.
Good night, all.